Our first public hearing is conditional use number 1779, Jim and Carla Clark.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in a GR, general residential district, for a spa, providing massage, facial, et cetera, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 12,750 square feet, more or less, lying southeast of John J. Williams Highway, also known as Route 24, 200 feet northeast of Bay Farm Road, also referred to as Road 299. For the benefit of the commission, I passed down copies of the survey of the property. It's the same as the one in the exhibit booklet. It's just a little bit larger. The applicant on April 28th of 09 provided the commission's office with a exhibit booklet, booklet providing us information on the application. It includes a aerial photograph, reference to conditional use law, references to the 2003 comprehensive plan and a 2008 comprehensive plan, a state strategies map with references and existing land use of the area, tax maps, photographs, Dell.com comment, no TIS required, photographs of the property, a site plan, a floor plan, interior photographs, references to degrees, diplomas, and licenses, menu of the processes that could be performed at the facility, and proposed findings and conditions. They are a part of the record, and as I said, have been a part of the record since the 28th of April. We also received two agency comments, first one being the Department of Transportation in the form of a support facilities report. I believe that's also in the exhibit booklet. It was received separately. Makes reference to the property, makes reference to John J. Williams Highway from the stoplight at 299 to Route 5 and Route 22 intersection. The traffic impact study was not recommended. The present level of service is level of service E and will not change as a result of this application. From the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division, we also received a memo. It was received yesterday, May 13th. Makes reference to the site, the location, the applicant, and the type of use and the size of the parcel. This lot has been provided with one EDU per residential parcel, less than 1 acre. It is located in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Wastewater capacity is available if the proposed use does not exceed 2.33 EDUs. The EDU assessment for the proposed use is not known at this time. The proposed use may exceed sewer system design assumptions. However, it is not expected that the EDUs will have an adverse impact on the sewer system. The system design assumption for the parcel is one EDU reflecting a residential zone parcel less than 1 acre. It does note that the parcel was previously used at a bed and breakfast, having an EDU assessment of 2.33. Ordinance 38 construction is not required. The current system connection charge rate is $3,252 per EDU. Reference to the location and size of laterals, they will have to be determined by the county engineer. The parcel is served presently by one 6-inch lateral located along the parcel's frontage on Route 24. The 6-inch lateral may not be adequate if the proposed use exceeds 2.33 EDUs. A lateral upgrade at the owner's expense may be required. In conformity to the North Coastal Planning Study area would be required, and that a concept plan is not required at this time. And that was signed by John J. Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And gentlemen, that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, so we thank you. And with that, the chair recognizes Mr. Willard.
Good evening, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yuri here in the circle in Georgetown. I represent the applicants. It's Carla and Jim Clark. I'm reluctant to say this. It's probably more Carla's application than Mr. Clark's, although they both own the property, because she's the one that has sort of become an entrepreneur to the extent she's gone to school to become an esthetician. Spa, you do nails and all kinds of things. and you'll actually have her transcript in there. And her vision is to make this property on 24 a spa where she can practice what she's learned and also hire other people, masseuses, to provide a spa facility. And since the property is located in GR, we're asking for a conditional use so she can have permission just to have the limited use to use it as a spa. I'm going to, if you all have a copy of my book, I'm going to keep to my game plan, kind of run through that fairly rapidly to establish the record as to what the law is, what's there, why we think we comply with the law, and if you have any questions, certainly interrupt me.
The book is certainly part of the record already, and you're welcome to hit the high spots.
Okay, good enough. Tab one, you have a vision of the area, which shows, you know, the it's at the intersection of Long Neck and 24 and then Bayshore Road, and you all are well familiar with the activity on both ends of what they're dealing with. Food Lion, Giant on one with various other stuff going on, and on the other end of them, right across the Bayshore, is Harry, I don't want to say Tweeters, whatever it's called.
Harris Teeter.
Don't go in there hungry. I did. In any event, there's a lot of commercial activity that they're surrounded on. Even right across the street is some medical offices and such. You're all familiar with GR conditional use. And in the GR conditional use statute, it calls for business uses, which establish the purpose of the conditional use. And we think this does because it provides for the general convenience of the area, and it won't impact neighboring properties and consistent with your comp plan. The idea being this is a service-oriented business that should serve very local people, the tourist community, the summer people that come down, and the year-round retired people that are in the area, which I think is what's called for in that area. It was filed in September of 2007, so it's under your old comp plan, although I think both are relevant. It's an environmentally sensitive development district, so if you look at tab three, you see just where it is in that area, and the guidelines for non-residential use in that area call for businesses to serve the rapidly growing population. And your 2008 plan likewise puts it in that area, and it calls for similarly services, modest services, commercials, businesses, obviously not industrial, which we think this is. And I've provided that language in tab four for you. It's in a level two area for the state strategies, which call for some development, not the most intense, but certainly not the least. And we think it's consistent with the strategy two area for have some development. And that's your tab five. Tab six shows existing uses. It's not a very good map, but if you look at the bottom left red blob, which is commercial in tab six, that's Bay Farm Road. It's interesting, your tax map doesn't show that as commercial, but there is some conditional use activity there. But right to the right of that, and on this side, the south side of the property is where the site is. So that just demonstrates more with colors what's going on around there. There's a lot of activity. Tab 7 is the actual tax map, the first page showing Long Neck Corner and what's leading up to it. Now that whole parcel on the right side is Giants and pretty intense commercial activity. If you'll see the insert sheet at the bottom of that tax map, then you'll highlight on the second one what's actually there, and you'll see where the site is in what was originally cut out as residential sites, and that's actually changed over the years, where there are businesses across the street. You see C1, B1. There's also in lot 192, which is only three lots down from them, there's a cleaning business. And at the corner, even though it's showing GR, there's a real estate business. So perhaps there are conditional uses that weren't recorded on your tax map, but they're there. Tab 8 just is the visual of what's going on around there for your record. You have Giants. You have what's right across the street is a seafood shop, the medical building. And what I've already pointed out is on either side of them, the rather large Harris Teeter complex and the Giant complex. At tab 9, Mr. Lank has already said that this will not change, or according to DelDOT, this will not affect the grade of the road, and there's no TIS needed. Tab 10 shows you actually a picture of the site, and Carla's actually done, and her husband, done a good job already trying to, you know, fix it up, and they're kind of excited about this. They're not counting their eggs before they're hatched, but they have been working on it. You'll see the site plan, and there are 10 parking spaces, which I think is appropriate for the square footage of the parcel. Right now, the front yard, as you can see, is remnants of crushed shell. They'd obviously improve that, and she's also already started to do some significant landscaping around it to make it more of an attractive curb appeal. This next, if you look at right past this site plan, Mr. Chairman, there's a insert that should have had a separate tab. But in 2002, it was Board of Adjustment approved this very property for a bed and breakfast. So it's already had some approval, and that's in your tab 11, second page. They had jurisdiction over that special use, but the obvious owner sold it and no longer used it as that. Tab 12 gives you a site plan, which what Carla has mapped out is how the property would be used. Tab 13 shows you some pictures of how she's starting to renovate it. Tab 14 shows you that she was an outstanding student, I believe, in all the courses for anesthetist and got her degree. I can't say it. I'm not even going to try. I've never been to one, but I may someday. And you can see at tab 15 some of the services that she aims to provide in the area. She's not licensed to do all those things, but she will hire licensed people for massages and things. So she aims to make that area of Sussex County more beautiful and more healthy. And then I have proposed findings there. We'd obviously entertain any that you have that you think are appropriate, but some of them are pretty standard, that the property will be used as a day spa. The hours are 10 to 7 Monday through Saturday and 1 to 7 on Sunday. There will be one sign posted at the entrance and one sign attached to the building identifying the business. All necessary government approvals will be obtained for site plan and operation. It's currently on well and it's on county sewer. You've heard the sewer information. It sounds like capacity wouldn't be disrupted by this, and I doubt very much it would. And obviously they'd have to pay for any upgrade if it would. Minimum of 10 parking spaces. All outside lighting shall be directed toward the property. The frontage will be appropriately landscaped. And like I said, they would entertain things that we may have missed there if you're favorably disposed to this project. Or if you have any questions, I'd like to call Carla, I guess, up here just to do the record thing. You've heard me speak kind of rapidly. You've looked at the book.
Yeah.
Is my presentation to the commission accurate as to what you're asking for here?
Yes.
You need to introduce yourself for the record, please.
What was that?
You introduce yourself for the record.
My name's Carla Clark.
It picks it up here.
Yeah, I see that.
Okay. And your address?
My address? I'm not sure which one. I have two. I have one in Middletown and one at West Bay Park.
Take your pick.
West Bay Park,
all right,
48D.
Great.
Her husband actually has a garage door business, and it's based out of Middletown, but they recently have a shop up Market Street, too, so he's doing some business down here at Clark's Garage Door.
No, not recently, since the 70s.
Yeah, recently since the 70s.
Okay.
Before you were born.
Before I was born.
Thank you. So that's it, gentlemen. I if there are any questions you have, I think...
I just want to hear that pronunciation one more time.
Aesthetician.
No,
you try.
Well, you notice the license is spelled with an A and the diploma, it's an E.
Because it's from Latin, Greek, you know, aesthetics, and that comes from that.
I figured that much out.
We could all use some aesthetics. But you'll see male and female clients, I guess?
Yes. Everyone gets a massage and facials.
Okay. Well, if you guys don't mind, we'll see if anybody has any questions for you.
Sir.
Okay. Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Worley, can you clarify for me, is this part of this subdivision that's there?
It is not. I pulled the restrictions on it, Sherwood Forest, and it was recorded prior to that as known as the Steele development. And I can give you or Ms. Robertson the deeds. So we did do a search on it, and it was conveyed before then, is my understanding. because I was very concerned about the restrictions when I looked at it. You know, obviously, there's got a bed and breakfast. There's conditional use all around there, and it looks like the Steeles conveyed it, and they sliced off these lots first and then did Shorewood Forest next.
Especially since one of your colleagues ran into some issues with that not too many months ago with us, with changes on inside of a subdivision.
But not this, not Sherwood Forest, right?
Okay, no.
No,
not this
Sherwood Forest.
But we, I did, yeah, I've been, you know, that's why they call it practice in law. I searched it and went back and searched it again to make sure, and we got the two deeds, and it's the Steele development versus Sherwood Forest that was done prior to, so.
Has there been any discussion with DelDOT in terms of any dedication to DelDOT for right-of-ways? Because I noticed something on your survey. It shows 20 feet, but I'm not sure what that is.
Well, you know, quite frankly, when we put the condition on there that they're going to have to get any government approvals, there may be an entrance permit.
20 feet.
Yeah, they provided 20 feet already.
We can add more because we bought the lot next door.
Okay. So to answer your question, no, not with me, and I don't think to the applicant, but they're aware that there may have to be that conversation and some dedications.
And about how many employees would you anticipate having when you're fully operational, Mrs. Clark?
Four? I'm not sure. Depends on how well we do. Hoping for four.
Because sometimes as part of the conditions that we place on conditional uses could in fact include the number of employees that's permitted, you know, in a location. Is there the possibility of any parking in the back? I noticed you have a 9'7" side on your lot. That I don't know if that would allow you to have some parking in the back.
No, it wouldn't work.
It would not work.
They, Mr. Johnson, the Clarks own the property next door to the immediate left, and if need be, they are willing to create more parking over there.
As you,
they didn't include that in their site plan, but they've owned that for.
Okay. Because as you know, Mr. Wellers, one of the things that concerns me oftentimes is parking in the front yard setback, and given the fact that this particular lot is in the midst of other residential units, that certainly would be of concern to me when we come back for a final site plan approval. And it appears from looking at this that given the small front yard that is there, that it would necessitate some front yard setback.
To the extent they own the lot next door and they're willing to sacrifice it for this project, because there is one tenant there, and it's on a manufactured home. Mr. Clark, you can address this if you want. I think I can represent to the commission that they're flexible. If you say that you prefer some parking in the back, that they could bring a site plan to you with something with that change.
Good evening, gentlemen. I'm Jim Clark. This past December, I purchased a lot to the left, which is considered lot 21, which is 65 by 150 deep for this purpose. If extra parking is needed, there is a trailer on there which can go.
Okay.
All right. So this property was purchased for that reason.
Good.
All
right.
Thank you. This was filed over 2 years ago, or not 2 years ago, coming on it, but anyway. So they put the parking, which they thought they were required, because as Mr. Lank or somebody said, they can't get access on this lot, but now they can in the rear. And I don't know if you have the flexibility of making a condition that would direct them to do so without the site plan showing that, but we'd be happy to submit something with that.
The question would be, it's not part of this application. It's a different site. There's a method that they could apply for an exception to the Board of Adjustment for off-site parking, which is adjacent.
Yeah.
And that could be applied for. It's a long process of adding to their conditional use.
But, I mean, that the other alternative, Lawrence, wouldn't it be if they put parking behind this one and just had, you know, part of the driveway cross
that property? Yeah, they could. I was looking at that, too. They could go into the driveway as it's proposed and then go around the house enough to get to the back.
Right, and just they could grant themselves an easement.
It'd just be an easement,
right.
not for parking.
Right.
So in that particular situation, that's could, you know, we're, that could allow for yourself and your employees to park perhaps in the rear and allow the front to be used for your customer parking and perhaps not entering into the front yard setback. Okay. All my questions have been answered so far, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Mr. Burton?
Parking was my only question, and it's been answered.
Okay. Mr. Gordy?
No question.
Mr. Smith?
Question, Mr. Willard. What does your client anticipate insofar as necessity of deliveries to the site and any frequency, things such as FedEx, UPS?
I'll let her answer that because I don't. The question was what kind of deliveries you anticipate? How many? How often? FedEx trucks, UPS? I assume you have some. Products.
Products, yeah, that would, I guess that would be the main thing. I'm not actually sure how often they would because I actually haven't picked the company that I wanted to go with yet. So I don't know if that would be on a monthly basis or.
I don't think we'd be talking about multiple times a day. We'd be talking about maybe once or twice a week, probably, if at max. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So it would just basically be fair to assume that there would be on occasion some type of trucks delivering some products necessary for the pursuit of the business.
Right.
Will you have retail sales of
Yeah, there will be cream? Some there will be some retail, yeah.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Okay, sir. Mr. Lang.
I was reviewing the site plan and the parking requirements that are referenced by the surveyor, correct? Since it's similar to a beauty shop, barbershop, personal services type issue would be, and it's one space per 200, so there are 10 parking spaces is what they would be required. And you're not going to live there. It's just going to be used for the shop.
Hope I'm not going to live there, yeah.
If they had the shop plus residential use, then they would have a little change in their calculation. But I don't have any questions.
Okay, Mr. Abbott,
a question.
Just one, Mr. Willard, to follow up on a question Mr. Johnson had. I mean, after you reviewed the deed and the restrictions, there's no prohibition on this type of use?
No, and I will share those with you.
Okay, that's right. I'm just.
Well, my first blush was, ooh, this isn't, because I got Sherwood Forest, and then I saw that these deeds were these lots were deeded prior to that by something known as a steel development, and there are no restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's your client's concern if they have an issue with a subdivision. I just wanted to.
I had that issue, that concern for them.
Yeah, okay.
But so we settled that. So,
no other questions, Mr. Wheatley?
The lots along both sides of 24 and down Road 299 were recorded prior to zoning.
Okay.
And the lots to the rear, what is called Robin Hood's Loop, the first section of lots that you can see, that's GR, they were also right at zoning or just prior. And then Robin Hood subdivision, or Sherwood Forest is called, is actually went through zoning in probably late 70s, early 80s, somewhere at that time. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1779, Jim and Carla Clark? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1779? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.